Hello, quack, quack.
Glad you could make it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Manchester United need to pick themselves up for their trip to Chelsea. Wolves have a tricky one, and Newport host Manchester City. Hi, men. How are we?
Doing well, thank you.
Valentine's Day, mate. I'm feeling horny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
It's a slightly earlier record today, so
yeah. So you can fit in more horn for the rest of the day, presumably.
It's also Single Awareness Day today.
Oh,
so
is it?
For people who aren't in a relationship, because they don't feel left out.
That is very much just a byproduct of it being Valentine's Day, though, isn't it? I don't know.
Very much an official thing. Yeah. Very much a 21st century thing as well.
It's very much singles being aware that they're single, more than anything else.
More aware than they would otherwise.
Well, they're all welcome around Pete's house.
Yes.
They're all welcome in the Football Ramble parish.
Mm. Definite. It's a broad parish and a loving one.
And the bigamists.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Whatever you're doing with yourself.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
Big Jimmy style.
Talking on behalf of your people. all right. Well, before we talk about the FA Cup this weekend, Gordon Banks sadly died, of course, and Eric Harrison as well, two giants of the game.
Very different reasons.
But for very different reasons. And then the tributes have been really nice. And in particular for Gordon Banks as well, a player whose career, obviously, we don't remember, but we've very much enjoyed looking back on. Pelé gave a really lovely tribute, talking about that save, of course, and so on. There was a wonderful photo doing the rounds as well, where Gordon Banks is diving
catching a dog
and ran on the pitch.
The tribute from Pelé to Gordon was a really nice one, and it's quite long, so I'll just read the final three sentences where he says, "I'm glad he saved my header, because that act was the start of a friendship between us that I will always treasure. Whenever we met, it was always like we had never been apart. I have great sadness in my heart today, and I say condolences to the family he was so proud of. Rest in peace, my friend. Yes, you were a goalkeeper with magic, but you were also so much more. You were a fine human being."
If you ever need to know how to do a beautiful tribute, that is top class.
Yeah, it's great.
It's done so well.
Great. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And yeah, obviously his place in football folklore is forever assured because of the World Cup win. But obviously an illustrious club career with Stoke and Leicester City, among some other places as well. The football world is much poorer without him, and we send our condolences to his family and friends. And there was a lovely tribute to him actually at White Hart Lane last night.
Wembley.
Wembley. God, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Not too well.
I'm getting before myself and ahead of myself. where it was obviously a minute silence, but it sort of broke into spontaneous applause for him, and rightly so, because he was a great guy and a great goalkeeper.
And a performance from Spurs, fitting of the great.
Absolutely.
A clean sheet, of course.
You've got Lloris, his own personal tribute, with an amazing save at the far post.
But, that's right. What a performance from Spurs.
It was great. Before we get into Spurs, can I just spare a thought for Eric Harrison?
Yes, of course.
For those, obviously not quite as famous a name as Gordon Banks, but a guy who was absolutely instrumental in bringing a number of top quality players through at Manchester United.
One of the unsung heroes, really. Mm.
Absolutely. winning the Youth Cup with United in 92 and 95, I think. And of course, the class of 92 is the big legacy he left, among other things. But when it was known that he was severely ill, there was talk of people just flocking to his house. I mean, David Beckham drove 400 miles to be with him and took in a homemade cake and all this other stuff. And clearly a guy who was very, very important to the careers of a number of top quality players. And their tributes on Twitter today have been testament to that. So rest in peace, Eric, as well.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Excuse me. Right, Jim, now we can finally talk about Spurs. I know you're really wanting to do this. What a win.
Champion at the bit.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? All business aside, they were excellent. And I mean,
it's good for English football.
Yes, but
good
also
for North London.
Yeah, it's
putting them back on the map.
It's very it's very rare that a Champions League tie is so definitively won in the first leg, isn't it? I don't think that. Well, maybe not rare, but you certainly didn't expect it in a tie that looks so evenly matched.
Yeah, it's not a League Cup semi final.
No,
I think there's been situations with Spurs under Pochettino in the past where they have been in a decent situation, a different decent position. Mm-hmm. And they've just gone gung-ho, gone for it, and perhaps been caught out and had showed a bit of immaturity, perhaps. Whereas last night's performance was so mature. I mean, the first half was very competitive, hard to make a breakthrough. They had a lot on their plate, keeping Sancho and Pulisic quiet. Second half, they just came out flying. Mm. Early goal.
Yeah.
And then really impressed their advantage on the game. Mm. I was thinking at the time, they come away with this with a 1-0. It's a solid result, but they'd like two. I never thought they'd come out of it with three.
No.
But they kept their foot on the throat and they kept going. And you'd have to fancy them to go through now.
You would. Very difficult. And I think they will go through, but I can see Dortmund going 2-0 up.
Yeah,
second leg.
Yeah. I think every Spurs fan everywhere is probably thinking that.
Yeah, no, but I think Spurs will go through, and I think they will. But I can see it being a bit nervy at some points.
I think this sort of performance will give them so much confidence in terms of whoever they get in the next round, should they go through. I think they're in an unusual situation because they don't fear anyone. We've seen that in the league, and obviously they've come up short against a few sides like Liverpool, and that's to be expected. But I think there will be a unusual prospect for anybody playing them.
Yes.
Because you sort of know what you're going to get, but they've not been around in the Champions League long enough for teams to have figured them out.
And also, most of the footage they'll have of Spurs will be with Harry Kane up front. Now, he may well be back, presuming Spurs
will
through.
Will he get back in the side? Well, that's when Ali get back
won,
in the side.
I think they've won 6 of 8 without him. Which but you know, I felt like, we talked about this on the show before, and I felt like, I don't know if you guys agreed, I think you did at the time, where we said, it feels like they're going back to the well and they're just pulling these results out and they look tired and they're dragging themselves through it and they're getting results, and that's a testament to them.
Yeah.
To me, last night, they didn't look tired at all. They looked really up for it. Mm-hmm. They looked really in for the occasion. And Jan Vertonghen was... I don't know if I've ever seen a player be so bad and so good. Like...
Sissoko's up there, to be fair.
Well, Sissoko was great last night as well. Great. But was it in the North London derby where Vertonghen got sent off? He was absolutely appalling. I think in a particular fantasy football website I play with my friends, I think he got -8 points that day. and last night, he was incredible. Being played out of position at 31, in a position I don't know if he's ever played before. Mm. A goal and assist, keeping one of the brightest young talents in European football quiet. He was unbelievably good. But the biggest testament to Spurs you can pay, I think, is that they didn't look at all tired last night. They looked really up for it. They were on the front foot. They controlled the game. It was such a mature performance for them.
Did you agree with Arsene Wenger's comments about the
what
team?
What did he say?
He basically said he compared Spurs team to the Manchester United team of 1992. And 93, like the class of 92 rather, and sort of said they need to start winning stuff. They're a very positive young team, which I don't think they are that young, but they need to start winning things.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Arsene Wenger, because that leads us neatly on to Manchester United, who, of course, didn't have a positive result. They were beaten quite handedly. And Big Wenger getting involved after the match, saying Man United played at home and had one shot on goal in the Champions League. That tells you the difference between the two teams. Big Wenger sticking in the boot!
That's with punditry, though, isn't it?
He's not shouting it from the stand.
Listen, I bell.
You very much presented it like he was.
No, he's sticking in the boot.
He's not ringing people up individually, is he? He's obviously got some sort of platform.
I'm not presenting that at all. I'm saying Big Veng post-retirement is sticking the boot in and he's absolutely loving it.
He's on Periscope.
All that's missing from these... And he started saying about, well, they were dominated in midfield. You can't be dominated in midfield the whole game. All he's missing at the start of these sentences is from personal experience.
Yeah. And trust me, I'd know.
Yeah. It's harrowing.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun, this.
Yeah.
Slagging everybody else off and it's not you.
Yeah. Who's a voyeur now?
Wasn't Sadio... I mean, Man United fans would probably argue that that you know it's a sign of a big club, right? Everyone's got an opinion on them.
That's right.
Because Sadio Mane stuck the boot in as well.
He did.
And Mario Balotelli.
Everyone's at it.
Well, Mane was on Instagram posting a photo of the television with the game on and the scoreline under it with a caption just saying, hum.
I mean, that is a...
confusing.
Yeah. It's a bold move, isn't it? Because it can come back to bite you so easily.
Well, that's why he deleted it.
I mean, it doesn't matter now, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He's complaining about his television speaker system.
If you're a footballer... Yeah, if you're a football pool television speaker making a return, if you're a football player and you Instagram or tweet anything, it doesn't matter how quick you delete it,
exactly.
There is always going to be a screenshot of it.
Of course it is, yeah. He then posted a photo of him and Klopp in training laughing, which he probably thought, I'll put that one up to throw them off the scent. That makes it worse.
Yeah, it does.
He deleted it. Mario Balotelli, though, was less subtle. He just tweeted, Manchester United, ole! And then tweeted, City fans happy, good night!
He also added something about how Marseille fans shouldn't worry because he hates PSG as well.
Yeah. of course. He deleted both posts later.
But have you guys...
So again, it didn't happen. Don't worry about it.
Have you guys been taking back...
Everything.
I mean, Balotelli deleting. What's the point of that? I mean, it's not as though he's not done it 100 times in the past.
If you're going to do that, you might as well change your identity.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mind. I think that footballers...
surprised in 2019 footballers are allowed their own Instagram accounts.
Yeah. Well, the president of the United States has one.
Think of the shareholders, Pete. It's all about growing the brand.
Good point. Sorry, shareholders.
Fellow shareholders.
What's wrong, though? I can understand from a sort of PR point if... a footballer, say like Mane, who's pretty clean cut as far as I'm aware, and it seems like a lovely chap. You don't want him, from the club's point of view, you don't want him getting into this unnecessary battle and journalists saying, oh, you're snagging him off.
Yeah.
So I suppose that's the reason, isn't it? Otherwise, I don't see the problem.
No, I think that's right. I mean, they ultimately do have lives as well, and they've got their own
thoughts.
Yeah, responsibilities, and they should know that.
Imagine a 19...
They all get media training these days, of course. They all get social media education.
Imagine a 1996 sort of Paul Merson vintage 1 AM tweet. Oh, yeah. What that would look like.
Well, I'd love to see it. If you've got the time machine ready, that's where I'm going.
No, you say you'd love to see it until you actually see it. And then you're like, this is depressing.
Yeah. What did you guys make of the... Because obviously Man United played Chelsea in the big game at the Champions League, the FA Cup this weekend. What did you make of everyone's reaction to Man United being beaten by PSG? Because to me, it feels like it's so typical like coverage of football in this country these days. All they're going to Solskjaer is, you know, give him the job, give him the job, give him the job. He's the best young coach in Europe, give him the job. They lose a game and it's like, oh, Pochettino. To me, it's just so transparent. Clearly, they don't become a terrible team when he doesn't become a terrible manager. If indeed we agree he is a good one, he doesn't become a terrible one
because
they got beaten by a European heavyweight in the Champions League.
Sure, but it was a European heavyweight who were missing key players. But I think it was the mid-innings collapse, which...
Sure,
I
but
think
it can happen, though. It's a top level of football, right?
It can happen.
I mean, they're a very, very good team. And Man United
and a team have played together.
An answer to that. Absolutely.
Solskjaer is Schrodinger's manager. Might be good, you never know.
Might be good, might be bad. Mm. Open the box, find out.
Yeah, I think it was the fact that the uranium. I think it was the fact that PSG were missing players. They looked a bit disjointed on paper. Obviously, the way the game played out. I mean, at half time it was sort of fairly nicely poised, and then Manchester United looked like it could have been three. Could have been maybe four. I mean, sure. Mbappe, I think, was annoyed with himself, didn't he, that he never got more than one. So I think
it was with that thing he does where he finally got punished for it, where he tries to put his foot over the ball.
But Reiki.
You're not going to get away with that in Europe. I don't understand why he thinks he can get away with it anyway.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I remember Jamie Redknapp doing that years ago. He liked to kind of do that raking kind of...
Over the top.
Yeah, and he went on someone's knee, and the referee came over and was like, no. And Redknapp mouthed, what, you're going to book me for that? And I remember thinking... You're lucky it's not a straight red.
Yeah. And you've had your own knee problems, so you should know better.
Well, he's getting his own back.
But do you think the family, didn't
his it? Dad has, yeah.
Do you think Man United will? do you think Man United will see? Do you think Man United will watch the tape of Chelsea's last performance and say there's something there for us?
I think they will use that as a blueprint. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if we get three, we'll be happy.
Incredibly, Chelsea are 11-2 second favourites to win the FA Cup with Bet365. So £10 return, £65 including stake. Should they lift the trophy in May? Mm. Second favourites.
It's an intriguing tie, this, because I'm really interested in the reaction to Alexis Sanchez's performances of late and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying that he needs to find himself on the pitch, because we were talking about this recently, weren't we? And I remember you, Marcus, expressing rather surprise that Luke and I both kind of said that I think Sanchez is probably a busted flush now and his best days are behind him. And I think his performances are showing that, obviously, apart from at the Emirates recently.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that? Do you think it's just a bad fit for him? Because I wonder if actually the Chelsea game, given how sort of unpredictable and potentially ragged they can be, might be a good... opportunity for him to get a chance to do something in a big game.
Yeah, but I think to call a footballer like him a busted flush...
When you say that about a man like him...
Exactly, yeah. No, I know he's had a few little injuries and whatnot, but it's not like he's returning and you think, like someone like Torres, he's just not the player and the confidence is...
But I think that is the case, though.
What, the injury's done that
to him? Well, I think it might be the injuries and sort of playing so much for Chile as well.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I think with Sanchez, it's just not worked out with him at Manchester United. I don't know what the problem is. And Solskjaer's comments are interesting because if it was a case that he needed to get over a bit more injury, all that kind of stuff, they play a system which pretty much suits him. He can still... do what he wants, you know, more of a wide position or a forward position or something. It's not that far cry.
Does he need to take a step down a little bit and just kind of...
I don't know. I think Solskjaer's comments are interesting. He needs to find himself. And I think it's a question of confidence, maybe the enjoyment of the game and all that kind of stuff.
Well, he's got a lot of miles on the clock.
He does.
He's of an age for a player who's played that much football. He's also a difficult character, but people lead me to believe. And at the moment, he's probably not in Man United's best team, which is always difficult for a forward player because then you're looking at trying to pick up scraps and play in the occasional game or come off the bench and you've got to make an impact. Having said that, did we not see two forward players in the shape of Lingard and Martial go off for United against PSG in midweek? So they might get an opportunity there. But I echo what Marcus says. He needs to... he needs to reboot himself somehow. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, well, it's not a problem for him. If it is, it's a nice problem to have. He's earning so much money.
Well, that's it.
That he's not going to go anywhere else. No. So he's going to probably have to stay there and fight for his place. And
China.
Yeah, maybe.
That's the answer, isn't it, for all these guys? Just go to China.
Unless you're Aaron Ramsey. I'll get that kind of money in Italy, thank you very much.
Lovely old job. That is a lovely old job. Yeah, Free transfer, well done, Arsenal.
Sanchez might figure a little bit more than we expect in this game against Chelsea. And I'll tell you what, if that performance from Chelsea in terms of the gaps they left against Man City is anything to go by, he might find himself having a bit of joy. Mm-hmm.
And if anybody can get the best out of a footballer on an emotional level, Solskjaer is probably better than a really tactical kind of, like, you know, like a Sarri kind
of. Do you feel like we get the best out of you on an emotional level, Pete?
No, God, no.
No?
You've hurt me. You've hurt me emotionally every week since we started.
Who does get the best out of you emotionally? Or could we not name them for legal reasons?
on this day of romance.
I'm trying to think, who does?
Well, have a think about that. But
the id inside me.
Oh, dear. Gonzalo Higuain, he'll be looking at the Manchester United defenders and thinking, right, come on, another couple of goals from me.
Yeah.
And I'd be interested. I think...
Isn't every football striker thinking that every single game?
Yeah, Mbappe certainly was.
Yeah.
I think that with Higuain in the side, even though he did play against Man City, but actually he had a couple of moments against Man City, the keeper saved well.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see how it will pan out with him at the top, because Chelsea have needed a goal-scoring striker in his ilk, and we'll see if Sarri ball and Higuain can get along once again.
At least they're playing at home, because I don't think Chelsea have scored away since the start of the year. Is that true? I think that might be the case.
Just chuck it out there.
Chuck it out there, mate.
It's fake news.
See what happens.
It's either real or fake news. Either way, it can be enjoyed and consumed.
We're all entitled to our own facts these days. Yeah. As Jim has told us over the years.
That's right. Right, let's go to Wales. Newport County host Manchester City. Can Manchester City do what MK Dons did last Tuesday and go to Rodney Parade and win?
Well, it's a big ask, isn't it?
It is a huge ask.
It's part of the romance of the cup, as we know.
Big ass! It's always funny, isn't it, when you think, oh, you know, that pitch, and oh, are they not going to fancy it? MK Dons did it just a few days
ago. Well, Michael Flynn said that, you know, this could be the biggest upset in the history of the cup if you look at the money City have and the calibre of the manager, which, you know, is a fair point.
And Pep likes cups. He plays his main team pretty much. If he's sort of losing matches, he tries to play them into form. But, I mean, to be fair, they did have a pretty good result in the week. So
the quadruple is on for Manchester City. Not so much chat about the quadruple this season as there was last season. But they do have big games coming up, though, Manchester City, because they're off to Schalke next week. Now, it's a favourable draw as they go in the knockout stages of the Champions League. Let's not be silly, but still, it's never an easy place. Well, any away tie in the Champions League is always difficult. And Guardiola, you would imagine with the games coming up and so on, you want to put down a marker and come away with a 2-0 win or something like that would be absolutely fantastic. Then they've got Chelsea next weekend, the weekend after this, in the League Cup final. And I thought to myself, oh, could he rest players? And I thought, yeah, it doesn't really matter with that squad, does it?
That was going to be exactly my point. Yeah. But you go back and look at the team you played against Burnley.
The third team.
Yeah, and there's a couple of players in there that wouldn't necessarily play that often. I guess
Zinchenko or somebody.
Or Danilo, I think, played.
Well, he started against Chelsea, I think.
That's the thing. They're all relied upon to play whenever they need to play, and they're all decent. It's like, you wouldn't, I don't in my mind think of Gundogan as a first team. Really.
No.
But he's amazing.
I know.
Can you honestly look at that team and know when they're resting players?
That's the point.
Be doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And Godot, another way he scored against Chelsea, of course.
Sometimes they rest themselves during the game and still win.
Let the ball do the work.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely true. You know, you think to yourself, okay, well, he's not playing on, but the problem is that those three guys are playing as well. I mean, the squad is so vast, and yet Phil Foden probably won't start.
No, he won't. Newport are a colossal 28-1 to win this game in 90 minutes with Bet365. It's on Saturday tea time, I think. Mm-hmm. £10 on that returns £290, including stake. It's a big ask for Newport County, and I know I'm going to get in trouble on our Reddit for saying this every week because they slag me off for repeating myself.
Okay.
But it's Rodney Parade is becoming a classic FA Cup venue.
It is.
And hopefully, because I'm a neutral and I have no dog in this fight, hopefully we'll see...
A Newport win.
A more folklore added to. I'm going to put it more diplomatically.
How have you got no dog in this? We've got the underdog in it, mate. That's
true.
Chihuahua.
I want Newport County to win.
Well, of course you do. You don't have a heart if you wanted Manchester City to win, unless you're a Man City fan.
Yeah, or a fan of the fellow a rival of Newport County.
Yes. Remini. Remini.
There's your inner dog.
Doing a bit of a remix in there.
Yeah.
Is this Limp Bizkit?
Is that you on the ones and twos, Pete Donaldson?
All right, it's time for emails with PED. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
All right, Stuart Dickerson has got in touch. Thank you, Stuart Dickerson. On the last episode, I think, Luke, you asked a Leicester fan to get in touch with their views for an inside perspective on Puel and why the fans are seemingly unhappy with him. Let me just start off by saying I personally like him, and here's why. His focus on passing the ball more and attempting to play more possession football is vitally needed in the club. Counter-attacking non-possession football is too one-dimensional now. We need more strings to our bow. He's bringing youth into the team, which is good. Madison Pereira, Tielemans, young, fast, technically gifted. That's all good. And contrary to what some grumbly fans are saying, we're playing some beautiful football and we've been more than holding our own. Some of the quick passing attacking football has been fantastic. Negatives though, Luke. Too inconsistent. The players, particularly the old guard, are struggling to adapt to Puel's methods.
Don't bring me negatives. Bring me solutions.
Well, you asked for these.
Bring me challenges.
That's why we got a few emails about this. I think one of the main factors affecting the fans' lack of endearment towards Puel is his lack of communication skills. This is clearly displayed every time he gives a post-match interview. The same old spiel every time. We need to play with intensity and quality, not just boring, but also unoriginal. And also, fans feel this is a golden generation of Leicester and want us to win as much as we can. Some of the starting lineups for the cup competitions have been questionable, and that's one thing that everybody kind of got in touch with. They basically said they want to win a cup, they want to win things, and they've got a taste.
They would have had a situation, I think, where if they had not played such a weakened side against Man City, they came very close to going through, and they would have had Burton in the semi, then they would have been in the final. And that's a lot of ifs, but I understand that point.
Charles also gets in touch and says he would clearly be a Remain voter. Leicester fans warm to hard-hitting, no-nonsense English Brexiteers.
Right. I actually got a tweet about it, which I enjoyed, and I retweeted it, but I'll say it on here in case people haven't seen it. It's from Tom Arnold, who says, personally, my beef is he's not weird enough. All our best managers have been oddballs, O'Neill, Pearson, Ranieri. So I welcome the anticipated summer arrival of Brendan Rodgers, one of football's great bellends.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that would be a good fit, wouldn't it?
Well, the talk is Rodgers or Pete Donaldson's management bay. Rafa Benitez.
Yeah. He'd have money to spend.
I'll tell you what, if you look at Rob Balls, I mean, you can look no further than Pete Donaldson. He could do a job.
You've lived in Leicester before.
Exactly. I've worked for Leicester. I'm probably still on the PAYE.
Remind us what you did at Leicester.
Cut up the pork.
You cut up the pork.
And gave out pucker pies.
It's not going to cut itself, is it?
No. Can he cut the mustard, though? Give him a chance.
Martin says, hi, lads. As an Ipswich fan, I wasn't looking forward to your analysis of the Old Farm Derby, especially after you started by accurately describing us as probably the most miserable set of fans in the country at the moment. Luckily, you started talking about a Concord on the pitch and skipped talking about the game altogether. On behalf of all town fans, thank you very much. If you want to get to the show, shutthefootballramble.com.
And before we move on, because I was anticipating this being a theme of the email section.
Right.
And do I make an apology for this? I'm going to say I make no apology for this.
Okay.
It's Kevin King's birthday today.
It is.
He's 68 years old today, Valentine's Day.
His birthday's on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Mr. Lover Man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Marcus, anything to add?
I would say he breaks hearts, but...
he breaks crockery, mostly.
Yeah. Or has it broken for him?
Happy birthday, Keggy, though.
Yeah, happy birthday, Kevin Keegan. Absolutely. A wonderful, wonderful man.
Joseph Kevin Keegan.
I love it.
His name's not Kevin.
Yeah.
First name, anyway.
Is that right? I like how Pete always gets in. He's a wonderful man, because he is.
Even his initials are joke. JKK. Joke. It's a joke.
It's a joke.
All right.
He's a bloke.
It's time for an ad break. See you in a moment.
I wasn't clattering on.
He bloody well was.
Never clatter.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show. Donny.
Hello.
Are playing Crystal Palace.
Oh, no.
Doncaster Rovers.
Tricked him.
Keep them in the cup because they are one of the many teams who now look like they're going to finish above Portsmouth this season. And I could do with them staying in the cup competition to distract them somewhere.
Yes, indeed. Well, Crystal Palace were woeful in front of goal against West Ham last weekend. They beat Spurs in the previous round, but they did take 86 minutes to break down. It was 10 men Grimsby Town in the cup. So, interesting. Palace, they've got more options. I mean, look, they should win this game, for crying out loud. Let's say that straight away. More options up front with Benteke back in the side and Batshuayi as well. But still, that game against West Ham, Jim. You can't ignore the missed chance, which was a disaster because everybody missed one.
Andros letting you down again, Marcus.
Oh, well, he was one of the few actually that didn't waste any chances.
He didn't score though, did he?
He didn't. Well, you know, he can't score every week, Jim.
Well, that's not how what I remember you saying. And no, I don't need a reminder of the exact wording.
if you're a footballer, don't say that in the interview.
Yeah, but
you're right though. Actually, in a sense, though, might that give them faith that all of them missed? Like Batshuayi's face was.
I know what you mean.
He was mortified.
Yeah, well, but this is a chance. Without disrespecting Doncaster Rovers, Crystal Palace are a Premier League side and should win this game. So this is a chance for whoever plays up front to get a goal or two.
Yes. Bit of confidence, eh?
Mm. To start racking them up, perhaps. Benteke surely needs a goal. Is it better for him to get a goal within this game or a Premier League game?
I think any game.
It could be like if Benteke scores against Doncaster, Roy Hodgson might be going, oh, that's his level. Finally, we found his level.
I think Benteke after the game would say, you know, I had my chances, but I'm just saving it for the Premier League.
It's a real remarkable reminder of how quick football moves on when you just cast your mind back to how Christian Benteke played at Aston Villa.
Yeah, and that huge move to Liverpool.
Move to Liverpool. Yeah.
He was
great at Villa.
He looked unplayable. Yeah, right? He looked so good. And it's sad because as a player, he's completely shorn of confidence. I remember the first day of this season seeing Palace. I saw Palace on the open day of the season and then warming up. Even in the warm up, I was looking at Benteke thinking,
It must be so frustrating when you're a player like Benteke. You know you've got ability.
Yeah.
For some reason, and maybe it's the same with Sanchez at the moment, perhaps slightly different, but someone like Benteke, you know you have that ability and you just cannot shake off this sort of
malaise
or the kind of the slight nervousness or anxieties you have on the pitch and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if this stuff going on is personal, but I don't know. There's no point in speculating in that. But so this happens to so many footballers about the confidence, you know. It must be. And you know, nowadays, a sports psychologist, and you can try, but they've just got to unlock it somehow.
If you're Doncaster Rovers, you're hoping Benteke plays because he's a big, strong guy, but he's not in great form. He's got no confidence. Mm. Doncaster are confident. Keep Moat's been decent for them recently. I don't think they've lost for four or five games. Mm-hmm. They held Portsmouth recently. They beat Oldham, I think, in the cup as well. They're doing okay. I think they're sixth in League One. They're going to be amongst it come the end of the season for promotion. Mm. They'll fancy this. They will. Crystal Palace are 10-1 with Bet365 to actually win the FA Cup this season. £10 returns £110 including stake. But they're definitely not going to have it all their own way this time.
They're not. But I'm glad you put that one in about them winning the cup because if you are a fan of Palace, and there's a few other Premier League sides in there, you know, Roy Hodgson will realise that Palace, they could go far in this year's competition. That, you know, that is a decent draw if you look at some of the other draws in this round of the Cup. You know, one of Chelsea or Manchester United will go out in this round.
Yeah, probably
now, obviously, Man City,
Marcus, you're absolutely right. Because the teams who should be having at least half an hour winning the FA Cup this season are Wolves, Crystal Palace and Watford.
Yes. Mm.
They're the three teams that have to go out and think they can do it. Wolves are fourth favourites.
Yeah, I was going to say, specifically Wolves, who are, seventh, I think, at the Premier League. You know, they're the pick
of
the
bunch. They play Bristol City next.
Yeah, because
they've also been very, very good against the top side.
Absolutely.
So they should fancy themselves.
And Watford have got a good chance because they play QPR tomorrow night, Friday night. So there's a chance one of these teams to go through. I think what's probably going to happen is one of them will get to the final and Man City will win it. That's probably what
I know what you mean. Well, we thought that when Wigan got to the final, didn't we?
And Crystal Palace came very close a few years ago and Alan Pardew gave us one of the finest British football moments ever.
Yeah, he did. Didn't he, Peter?
Yeah, yes, he did.
I know
what Luke is alluding
to. Why are you doing the dance now? emulating your hero. Yeah. Actually, you're dressed a bit like Pardew today.
I am a little bit like your mum's new boyfriend, aren't I?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, it's Valentine's Day, isn't it?
I'll take the rose out of my teeth.
Pete Dawson is many mums' new boyfriend.
Many mums.
The man of many mums. Indeed.
The mammary man.
What a mammoth. Anyway.
That's something entirely different.
Yeah. Very different. Wolves, I've got a tricky one, away to Bristol City. I'd like to put you in the or drag your attention to the form table in European football in all competitions around the continent. So just to give you a bit of perspective, if Spurs are 20th, we go down a bit further. Juventus are 14th, Barnsley 13th. Fair play to them. Mm. Into the top 10, Manchester United are 5th, Real Madrid are 4th, Bayern Munich are 3rd, Manchester City 2nd, Bristol City are 1st.
Wow,
they are the form team in this continent of Europe. How about that?
That's incredible.
Currently 5th in the Championship, 5 points behind Leeds United. having won. Oh, no, there were games last night. They're certainly in the playoff mix. But they've won 9 in a row. 6 of them have been clean sheets. The last time they were beaten was on the 24th of November away to Leeds. They are banging form, Bristol City.
Is it too early, though, to have that run?
I had no idea about that. That's incredible.
Isn't it just?
It was a brilliant return, that is. Fantastic.
Bristol City. And they're...
So I was thinking to myself, Wolves will be happy with that draw. They got a good chance. They're, like I said, fourth favourites.
But under Lee Johnson, Bristol City, you know, they pushed Manchester City reasonably hard. Obviously, it's a bit of an ask, but my goodness, they gave a good account of themselves.
That has a potential to be such a good game.
It does.
Bristol City, from when I've seen them, they play with a lot of energy. Mm. I think you say the same of Wolves.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, Wolves coughed and spluttered against Shrewsbury, didn't they? Mm-hmm. We're fortunate, you could argue.
But at their best, they're excellent Wolves.
Of course, but it was an odd one against the Shrews because they really needed, both games. And even in the second game, you know, Shrewsbury got a bit of joy. Bristol, they're a bit like Middlesbrough in the sense that they don't score a lot of goals, but their defence is pretty good. I think they have the second best defensive record in the Championship behind Middlesbrough. But they're in there and, that could be a bit of an upset. Although I suppose when you put it in the context of that, of course it's an upset because Wolves are going pretty well in the Premier League. But it will not be a pushover, you would think, for our Wolverhampton Wanderers.
And as I've said, they're fourth favourites to lift the FA Cup this season. 8-1 with Bet365. £10 returns £90, including stake.
Yeah, another tasty one in terms of Premier League versus Championship. Brighton versus Derby. Derby will fancy it. We know they've got pedigree. They've got form for beating bigger sides in the Cup this season. And Brighton have been in very bad form in the league, not won since 29th of December. But in the Cup, they won away to Bournemouth and away to West Brom, needing extra time. But my worry for Brighton, we talk about Bristol City not scoring too many goals, but they look effective. Brighton, 35-year-old Glenn Murray is their top scorer of the season with 12 goals in all competitions. But the next one down is defender Shane Duffy on 5 goals. Now, it's something...
That's funny, because that's a great return for a defender.
He's really dangerous from set pieces, yeah. Duffy. He's really
and it always warms me cockles to see Glenn Murray get on the score sheet, I think. Yeah. But he's 35 now.
Florent Andone's been banned now, hasn't he, for that elbow we talked about against West Brom, where he scored, but he arguably shouldn't have been on the pitch.
Hard to ignore that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's been banned for 3 games. I don't know if they're going to appeal it, but as of time of recording, he's out of this game, I think. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll have much joy out of that, would you reckon?
No. I only stuck one elbow on him.
One's a yellow card and the other...
But you know. If I were a Derby fan, I would be a little bit concerned that they're going to be the nearly men this season. You talk about how solid Middlesbrough are at the back. Bristol City are in great form. There's some good teams up there. Norwich, Leeds, Sheffield United.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I wonder
Derby
if they'll just be
seventh.
Yeah, they are. And Leeds, I wonder if they'll finish seventh.
Leeds back at the top of the tree, of course, in the Championship.
They won last night, didn't they? Yeah. Or Tuesday night, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. but Derby, though, they're an exciting side to watch in the Cup. We've very much enjoyed them. Is it Harry Wilson, the Welsh lad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't he choose to represent England? Declan Rice's route, mate. Got too many players. I think he's actually had caps in competitive.
I thought Declan Rice's statement was very, very well balanced, very well written, and very just overall really well done. I don't expect he'll get any quarter from some more of the irate, angry fans that we obviously always encounter in football. But I think he detailed quite eloquently how he felt and how difficult a decision it was for him. For those who haven't seen it, he's declared for England, having previously played for Ireland in a non-competitive way and at youth team level as well, I think.
Yeah. Three caps for Ireland, but of course all friendlies.
Non-competitive.
In the same way, I think Wilfred Zaha, I think, has two caps for England, but they were friendlies. People often forget.
Sure, so it can work both ways.
Yeah.
But I think he's done himself a credit the way he announced it and the way he talked about it and his statement. And of course, he spoke personally to Mick McCarthy and Gareth Southgate. I wish I'd heard that Mick McCarthy conversation. Oh, he'd be fuming. But more power to him. And I'm not just saying that because he's come to England. And I personally support England. I think it was obviously a difficult decision for him, and he's explained it quite eloquently.
And he didn't realise how good he was going to be.
Yeah,
Marcus,
you've undermined that, and that's on you. That's on you.
Kevin Gilbert, he said, "Oh, you know, Declan Rice in that statement says I'm a proud Englishman, but also proud of my
heritage,
Irish heritage," which is perfectly fair statement to make. And there's a lot of people now, you know, nowadays in especially in a city like London. But Kevin Kilbane, of course, was in a similar boat to Declan Rice in the sense that, you know, he went to go and represent Ireland. Probably wouldn't have had the option for England if we're talking realistically. But Kevin Kilbane just said, well, if you're a proud Englishman, why did you come and play for us at all then? I was a bit like, you're talking to a 20-year-old lad.
Yeah,
who,
yeah.
It's
course.
A bit harsh, Kevin.
I mean, and the 94 squad, come on. Come on now.
There you go.
Come on.
Kevin Kilbane got over 100 caps.
He might well have done.
He did 110 caps. Just checked. 110 yeah. caps. So he's a part of, from a part of Ireland called Preston.
I did
such a knob.
I spent 60 quid on
no, I've got no beef with it. Of course I haven't. He's been a great pro over the
Zinedine
years.
Zinedine Kilban, leave him
yeah
alone.
Exactly
yeah.
I spent 60 quid on a DNA test.
There we go.
And was the baby yours or not?
Yeah. All those things where you spit into a tube and they say where you're from.
Yeah. So you just go down the street, some bloke gives you a test tube, spit in it,
and he
60 quid
away.
And he goes, right, Old Compton Street, Soho.
He came back and I was like 60% Irish. And I was like, what? And I was like, ma'am, it says I'm 60% Irish. She went, yeah, both your great-grandmothers were Irish. I was like, that would have saved me 60 quid.
Yeah, could have just told me that.
Yeah, could have just told me that.
Can I just say?
You could have asked her those, couldn't you?
At least the readings, you know, they guessed that one correctly.
I was
Polynesian.
There you go.
Well, yeah.
Aren't we all, though? From. Aren't we all?
I was sat in the studio with Pete a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember what, it was just me and him sat in here. And I was on my computer and he's on his phone. And he makes a phone call. And because it's quiet in here, I could hear it. And he's calling his mum. I didn't know that. Uh-huh. He rings his mum, and all I hear from the other end of the phone is, oh, not you again.
Charming, isn't she?
Yeah. I thought that was really harsh.
The Welsh, ladies and gentlemen.
You live like hundreds of miles away from me. You think you should be having to hear from
me? I know.
You?
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of...
On the other hand, I also know Pete.
I was going to say, yeah, have a bit of sympathy for his mam. Right, what's our best bet with Bet365,
oh, yes.
Old Sport?
Our best bet with Bet365 comes from Chris King, the
go
king
on,
man.
Go on, King.
The king maker.
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
After hearing Tuesday's podcast... It's actually Mondays, but it's okay to listen to it on Tuesday. And with Luke's message still ringing in my ears, I've decided to step up and throw my hat into the ring for a chance of not only ending the barren run of best bet results, but aiming for the fabled three in a row, the Ramble's very own perfect hat trick. I'm going to start my run with the thigh rubber of the next round, which has to be Chelsea versus Man United. And I'm not going for any fancy results or first player to score. We've got to go back to basics to start winning some money for charity. So my bet is a simple Man United to win. Ole's boys have been on good form and it will be tough competition for a Chelsea side that are struggling to find any sort of form whatsoever. According to Bet365, £50 at odds of 13-5 should return a whopping £180. And get this. In fact, I'm so confident of this result that if you read out my email, I'll bet £50 myself and donate those winnings to Prostate Cancer UK as well. Ooh. Best of luck picking a new better. Let's hope that Jose Mourinho isn't hiding in a basket that spoiled the day. Cheers, guys, and keep up the good rambling work. That's from Chris King. So he selected Man United to beat Chelsea at 13-5. So £50 on that will return £180, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be 18 or over to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to begambleaware.org. Good luck, Chris.
Good luck,
I suppose, to Man United.
Yeah, we all need to get behind Manchester United now, Jim. Mm. Indeed. All right, it's time for Going for Gold. So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. As people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for gold. Hello to Ned York.
His name isn't Ned York.
Ned of
he
York.
Is Ned of York. He just said Ned York.
It's quite a Game Ned of Thrones. It's quite a Game of Thrones type name.
I am Ned of York, and I will chop your head off.
Speller, you haven't won one for a little while.
That's true.
Under pressure. No, but you're at your best when you're on them with the backs against the wall.
Do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
Back to goal. Turn. Yeah. And whack. Top right.
Go left or right. He's like Mitro.
I like this first clue. I am 54 years old now, but I was younger during my football career.
I do like
well,
that.
We found out today, Kevin Keegan, 68, so it's not him.
Yeah. Lovely.
I said stop.
He did say stop. Yeah.
Tim Breaker.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Stop. Ian Wright.
Incorrect.
Tim Breaker once went to my mate's house to deliver some tickets for a game.
Mr. Nice. Breaker.
Competition win. My name is Mr. Breaker.
I was born in South Africa, but I played 41 times for another country, scoring 7 times.
Stop. Ooh. Gary Mabbott?
Incorrect.
I think he was born. Was he born in South
Seven
Africa?
7 goals for England, Gary Mabbott.
If you know.
I'll just focus on the South Africa thing.
Yeah. Stop. Graham Hick.
Incorrect. Among the honours I received in my career, I was Rookie of the Year in the last ever season of Nazzal's existence and won ITV's Goal of the Season award in 1991.
Ooh.
Another bit of Nazzal.
Ooh, that is interesting.
That is very interesting.
Spicy.
Very spicy indeed. Oh, stop. No. Sorry, carry on.
Oh,
I don't have anything. No. That's it.
Why did you show it then? What was in your head?
No, I'm not saying that.
He's got tactics. Don't worry about it.
I'm not saying that.
It's time wasting.
Yeah. Hiding his light under a bushel. between 1989 and 1993, I moved clubs for fees of around 1 million, no less than three times. One of those moves was from QPR to Blackburn.
Oh, stop. Mine... Is it Roy Wegerle?
It's Roy Wegerle!
Oh, well played.
Luke Moore wins.
Lord. My time at Blackburn was ultimately curtailed by the arrival of the man known as the old Alexander Mitrovic, Alan Shearer. Yeah. I finished my career at the Tampa Bay Mutiny, for whom my less successful footballing brothers Jeff and Steve have also played. Jeff Wegerle, lovely.
I was just thinking of American players that came to the Premier League from the US. I wasn't aware that he was born in South Africa.
Though. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Mutiny.
Yeah.
According to former US national team manager Steve Sampson, I came to him before the 1998 match against Paraguay in San Diego and said I had personal knowledge of an affair between US captain John Harkes and Amy Winalda, wife of US striker Eric Winalda. As a result, Harkes was dropped from the team. So there we go.
Gary Mabbott was actually born in Bristol and looks a bit like Gerard Depardieu these days.
Ah,
interesting to see.
I'd say something, right? Luke Moore has turned the screw.
Yeah, I think that's two in a row, is it?
He's doing very well.
I'm on a Hattie.
He's on a Hattie. Mm. Yeah. He's got a Bracey.
I'm on a David Batty.
You're lagging behind, Marcus.
I am. I want the other game.
Yeah,
he's always very fond of the other game, isn't he?
Yeah, because he's good at it. That's why. Yeah.
No, because I think it's not so much found I'm good, I think other people are quite bad.
Although, I say you're good at it. Didn't I not have an impromptu version of the other game recently?
Peter Beardsley.
Yeah, and one of you, because I named one of his clubs.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think the others are that piss poor. I've got to rest on that.
Yeah, okay, well, that's fine.
But when they improve, then I'm in trouble.
Well, what you mean is you've taken the big man out of the game. I don't get a guess, so you're much better off.
Well, you know.
You're Christian Benteke.
Oh, come on. That's unfair. He's not a target man, is he? He's more like a Carlos Tevez type
player. I'm a target at the moment.
Yeah. Time on your back, mate, when you get to that level.
Indeed, yeah. My goodness. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We're off for some FA Cup action. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Say goodbye, PED.
Happy birthday, Kevin Keegan.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Bye.
And it's bye from me.
This was a Radio Staccato production.